Maisie isn't the only one that knows how to play fetch. Let's see if he'll do it. Walter. Hey, Buster. Let's see if he'll bring it back. Hey, Bubby, come here. Good boy. Can you bring it all the way here, please?
Hey, everybody. On this episode of the 411 Vodcast, we want to talk a little bit about this season of giving and the holidays. And we're going to try to go about things a little bit differently. But we wanted to think about and sort of reflect on our own journeys as educators. And I think we can all agree that, you know, we probably have all made plenty of mistakes along the way, and we can look back on our own teaching experiences and think how we would have done those things differently or what we wish we would have known. And so under that idea, we wanted to just kind of think about what if we could give our first year teacher self a gift. If you could think back to the first year you were teaching, that first year in the classroom, and what is the one sort of secret weapon or what gift that you wish you would have known then, what would it be? So all of us here are going to sort of chime in on that topic and describe for you what we would give our first year teacher selves. So let's start it off.
Merry Christmas. I have something under the tree. So let's check it out. What have we got here? Some nice penguin wrapping paper. Oh, it's from Chris to first year teacher Chris. What in the world? It's Legos of some kind. Oh, Lego robot. Well, why the Lego robot? If you know me, you know I'm incredibly passionate about student engagement. And the one advice that new teachers always seem to get is to go really, be really strict at first, you know, because you can always pull back. And I took that advice to heart. And my first teaching job, I was a little bit of a teaching robot. And I didn't allow myself to shine through. And I forgot about the reason I got into education in the first place. And that was about making connections. I quickly found that I was much more effective as a classroom manager by making connections with the kids rather than being super, super strict. The gift for first year Chris is a robot. Just to remind himself that there's more than teaching, more to teaching than just being a robot that does discipline and regurgitates information. So y'all have a Merry Christmas, and I'd be interested to know what some of your gifts you would give to your first year self.
Hi, thank God for filters, because this is full on Christmas break, Diana. No makeup until January 7th. We go back. So I have a gift for not necessarily first year teaching Diana, but more like third year teaching Diana. When I had sort of like gotten my groove a little bit, and I was really passionate about creating my own stuff, my own experiences for students. And so I would create things for my students to do, but I also do a lot of creating for things that I would present to my students. And so I want to talk about, maybe I should open the present. This is actually a re-gift from third year teaching Diana to herself, I guess. Check out this cool watch. I used to wear this. But my watch, my gift of of the watch to third-year teaching Diana represents time. And I don't mean it in a traditional sense that, like, I wish I could give her more time, because that's not what I mean. I would want her to know that she could have been smarter with her time, I guess. We all know that educators pour countless hours into what we do, way beyond what we are all required to do from our contracts. And we all do it because we're passionate about it. And there's simply just a lot of things to do when you are a classroom teacher. And so I would get totally stressed out about, you know, making cool stuff for my class, whether it was an awesome, like, innovative assessment or an activity for the kids to do. I would obsess over making, like, the perfect template for them to use, or I would spend hours and hours creating, like, the most, nauseating Prezi on the planet, just tons of information to share with my students. And all the stuff I was doing was really great, but I was spending a lot of time on it. And then, you know, a lot of the learning as a result of that wasn't as active or creative for my students. And so what I wish she knew, third year teaching Diana, was that I could have refocused my time in, instead of making these amazing presentations that I would, you know, give to my students telling them about Shakespeare, I could have used that time, created something that had them more actively learning. And then I could have used that time to do a better job of mentoring or working one-on-one with small groups of students, or differentiating, or providing awesome, you know, timely feedback, stuff like that. So we're never going to get more hours in the day, and we have to prioritize. But I think that had I been smarter with the way that I was using my time, my classroom would have been a more active place back then.
So I have a present here from me to first year teacher Michelle. Let's see what I have in here. Oh, it's a little candle holder with my name on it. You know those personalized gifts with your name on it? Well, I have an oddly spelled name, and so I never find anything. But whenever I get really excited whenever I see my name spelled correctly. But anyway, this gift is not about me, even if my name is on it. As a first year teacher, or just honestly my entire teaching career, I focus so much on differentiation, and that's important. I had a diverse group of students in my classroom with different skill sets and abilities and interests, and I worked so hard to try to meet the needs of all of my kiddos in my class. And that is a skill. And teachers don't get props enough for the work they put in, making sure that they're meeting all students' needs, not just the average or not just some. But I think the gift I could have given myself was personalization. And realizing that I didn't have to be the master of all of that decision making. And honestly, I think about personalized learning, the biggest difference between it and differentiation is who is in charge. Who is in charge of the decision making? And with personalized learning, your students are the ones that are advocating for themselves as learners and making those decisions. And I think I wish I would have had a better understanding as a first year teacher of how to teach kids to reflect on their data and to make decisions themselves about what it is they need, where they are, and where they're going. And it could have probably freed up a little bit of stress from me feeling like I had to orchestrate all of that decision making. So that's the gift I would like to give to myself and all teachers, is the freedom to give away some of that control to your students for your own sanity, but then also for their learning.
So for my gift to young, naive, clueless, first year, second year, third year, fourth year teacher Marcus, I have a little gift bag here. And what's inside is a padlock. And or a combination lock. And the struggle that I look back and realize that I had, it ultimately probably boiled down to ego. I was in love with the concept that I was going to be this super intelligent source of all the knowledge in my classroom. Teaching high school English, I was teaching content that was, you know, in my mind and in the minds of many of my students, very difficult to pull apart and comprehend. And I really just, I got caught up in wanting to be the teacher that students would say, "Oh man, Mr. Painter's so smart. He knows everything about William Shakespeare. He knows everything about poetry or whatever." And I was sort of glued to that for a few years, starting out, wanting to be an authority, wanting to be perceived that way, and knowledgeable. And looking back on probably the first 3, 4, 5 years of teaching, I realized that it would have been better for me to be able to find a better combination. See what I did there? A better combination in my classes. Finding a better ability to not need that, not needing to feed my ego, and a better understanding that the students can be that source of knowledge. And I tell the same story all the time about when that changed for me. And it was later in my career than I feel glad to share. But when I discovered that combination, that's when my career changed and my experiences in classrooms changed. And I think, truthfully, the experiences that my students had were much affected. So once I figured out the right combination, I think things improved.
All right, so I thought that was fun and honest and insightful, and I feel like a lot of educators can relate to the gifts that we shared, for sure. So if you guys have any additional gifts that you feel like teachers, first-year teachers, or veteran teachers could benefit from hearing about your story or a gift you might give yourself, please share on social media, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube comments. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to go ahead and transition into the second part of our topic today, which is also gift related. So next, I would like for all of us to share a weird gift story. Could be something you've given or gotten. What's a weird gift story you have for us?
I'll start because I feel like your guys' story is going to be much better than mine. But for my weird gift exchange story, I guess it's a little bit different what I do with my extended family. So with my uncle and aunt and all of my cousins and their kids, we'll get together around Christmas time. And instead of feeling the pressure to buy presents for that many people, we decided to do $1 gift exchanges, which ends up being this kind of weird, quirky Christmas tradition for our family, but it's a lot of fun. So we will buy $1 presents for each person and exchange it. And it ends up being really funny, really silly, and just a really good time. And I have a tendency to just try to find the weirdest things I can. Like, I'll go to Goodwill and just look for off-the-wall trinkets and things. And I have a collection of the weirdest stuff here that all cost a dollar or less from my cousin. So it's a little bit different of a gift exchange, but it helps us focus on what's most important, and that's family and laughter and being together, and not stress as much about presents and spending a bunch of money. So that's what my family does, and it's a really fun tradition.
At the risk of sounding ungrateful, and believe me, I'm not. As a teacher, you know, you always get interesting gifts from students. But the one The one gift, common gift, that I would get from kids that I unfortunately just couldn't is baked goods. Kids are nasty. And I know this because I have two of my own. I'm thankful for the time and love that they put when they made them. And I will show my excitement when I get that gift. But as soon as the day's over, unfortunately, that's got to go in the trash.
So, the weirdest gift that I think I've ever gotten came from my grandmother. And in truth, and looking back at those years, our stocking stuffers were always kind of weird. And at the time, I didn't really think much of it. But looking back on it, you know, those years growing up, the stocking stuffers from my grandparents were just really strange combinations of weird things. No real rhyme or reason. You oftentimes didn't know where they could have even have found such things. But one year took the cake, if you will. One year, and I don't remember how old I was. I was probably in middle school, junior high, you know, I don't know, seventh grade, eighth grade, maybe. And we always did stockings last. So we had done all of the Christmas. We were opening our stockings. And my stocking was really heavy. And I had opened up everything. And at the bottom, there was one last stocking stuffer. And I remove it from the stocking and unwrap it. And it was a canned ham. A canned ham for Christmas. I had never in my life even consumed canned ham. I have never, even to this day, never eaten canned ham. Yet, my grandmother thought it fit to give me a canned ham and wrapped it. Nice enough of her to do that. I always think about that when in Christmas vacation, when she gives the Jell-O mold with the cat food and she wraps it up, almost the same thing. Merry Christmas, everybody!
Hey, this is fun, Michelle. I sort of love that $1 tradition. I want to find a way to try that. So my story is going to be about the weirdest gift I've given. If you know me at all, you know I love to give gifts. That's definitely like my love language. And I went through this phase in high school where for like a year long period of time, I, for anyone's birthday or whatever reason, whenever I had a reason to give someone a gift, I would design a custom fish tank for them. So I would like think about what they would like, and I would buy like trinkets and different ways to decorate a fish tank that spoke to who they were, and then I would buy like one of those little Japanese like fighter beta fishes and put it in fish tank and give them a fish tank. And that seems so insane now, but I thought it was like brilliant when I was doing this. So it was Teacher Appreciation Week, and the teacher that I was responsible for making feel special that week, I designed a fish tank for him. He liked fishing, so my dad had a bunch of these like little antique fly fishing lures, and I cut the hooks off of them and made this like cool little thing, like garland of fly fishing lures, essentially, to decorate the outside of the fish tank. Bought a fish, gave it to him. He kept it in his classroom for a while until one weekend it died. And I remember coming back over from the weekend and him being like really nervous to find out that the fish I bought him died. So I'm sorry for everyone for that entire year. I'm normally pretty good at gift giving. Fish got, that was kind of a weird thing. That's mine.
Merry Christmas, and that's the 411.